open to what you would have us to do. Lord, as we come into this week, it's so a lot of times superficial for us. We'll sit down at dinner on Thursday or even some Wednesday and Friday as we visit with family members, and we'll say, oh, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that. And in the back of our mind, it's just this list that we're just kind of checking things off that we're supposed to, God, salvation, and then go on. But Lord, I pray that this week it would be more than just a day of being grateful. Lord, there in our generation or in this time period, there's such a tendency to be negative about everything. And so, Lord, I pray this week that that would not just be reserved to not be there on Thursday or on Wednesday or Friday, but Lord, this whole week we would have an attitude of gratitude for all the things that you've given to us. Because no matter what one friend says about us behind our back, there's another friend who will love us to the end. So Lord, I pray that no matter what our situations may be in life, that you would allow our hearts to be gripped with an attitude of gratitude. And this week, as we look around, we would see things in a different light rather than seeing them in a negative light in what we see around them. So Lord, I pray tonight as we dive into Scripture in Psalm 34, that you would give us wisdom. Lord, give me the words that I need to say to encourage and to challenge, and Lord, just to glorify you tonight. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. The slide that's up, we're not going to do Q&A, sorry. We don't have time for it. So, give thanks is the title of our message tonight. That's in 1 Chronicles, I think it's 16, right? 16, 34, yeah. It says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. But I want to read in Psalm 34 that kind of continues into that. Just leave it on the slide, Brad. I didn't put another one. But it says, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. And then he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Now, here's the tough thing about Thanksgiving. The tough thing about Thanksgiving is that sometimes it's tough to be thankful for things, right? Like our parents are going through a situation. Our family as a whole is going through a situation. In fact, sometimes holidays are actually worse than like regular weeks, because you get together with people that you haven't seen in years or that you don't want to see for many more years or whatever the case may be. And it's not this bringing up of this, oh man, this week's going to be awesome because I'm so thankful. It's this bringing up of, oh, and there's a negative connotation. There's this negative spirit about it. But in Psalm 34, David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not when things are going great. Not when things are, you know, on top of the mountain and we can see everything and everything's just fantastic, but his praise will always be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Now, there's nothing about circumstances. Not my circumstances shall make their boast in the Lord, because circumstances can change like that. I mean, one minute you can be this happy-go-lucky as you ever were, and the next minute you find out someone has a terminal disease, or you find out that something happened to one of your friends, or you find out that something happened to one of your family members, or whatever the case may be. And what went from this great, jolly day goes to this terrible day in a split second. So circumstances can change, but what David says is not, my circumstances will always bless the Lord and magnify the Lord. No, no. He says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Then he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. The purpose is this. I don't know what, again, it's your generation. I say your generation. I'm part of it, obviously, being in it. But our generation as a whole that really aims for negativity. Like, there's nothing really positive that people look at. In fact, most of the time, everything you read is negative about something. Like, everything you see on social media is about this, you know, I don't why, even the people that are like, retweet this if you think, you know, a guy should be like this and do these different things. It's not like I'm thankful for those guys. It's like, more guys should be like that. Everything is viewed in a negative light, and it should be more like this, or it should do more like that. Now, I'm not against looking at scripture, looking at things and saying, hey, what can we do better? But at the same time, your generation says everything is negative, but it's not, man. Like, your day is not all negative. Now, could there be some things that cause your day to feel negative? Heck yeah. Okay? It's not like everything's just hunky-dory in life. But your soul should find its boast in the Lord. In other words, no matter what the circumstances do around you, your soul should be anchored down into loving the Lord, into magnifying the Lord, so that he gets the glory, so that he gets the praise. So that's why he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. We're all in this together. We're all going to have sucky days. We're all going to have bad times, But together, it's our responsibility, it's our privilege to magnify the Lord together, to exalt or to make high his name together. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So the first couple of verses are kind of this whole like, man, everything's great. Exalt the Lord, he's good. And then all of a sudden he goes, you know, I sought the Lord with all my heart and he heard all my fears. Because life isn't always going to be great. Life's not always going to be fantastic. Can we put our cell phones away, please? Just, I love you guys all to death, but I can see six of you right now on your cell phones. So please put your cell phones away. But, what? Sweet. Can we put it away still? You're fantastic. You're the man. Thank you. So anyways, in this verse, we see this idea of, I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Things are not going to go well for you all the time. Things are not going to be great for you at every second. Okay, you're going to get a youth pastor who's a jerk and tell you to put away your phone, right? But things are not going to be great all the time. But if our soul is making its boast in the Lord, then his praise will ever be on our lips. And then in verse 5, he says, and they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man, talking about David himself, cried out, and the Lord heard him. David had some really, really tough situations. David's family was a mess. In fact, one of David's sons raped his sister. So it's not like David's family was this picture perfect, like, oh, everybody should model their family after them. Because if you do, there's a major issue. There's a major issue with all the things that are going on if you model your family after that. But David, in spite of all those things, in spite of all that he was going through, says, listen, this poor man cried out and the Lord heard me and saved me out of all my troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. And then verse 8, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Let me tell you why you have an experience, or when I have an experience, let me make it personal for me, why a lot of times I haven't experienced the goodness of God is because I haven't tasted it. I don't know if you remember being a kid and your mom coming towards you with like some sort of spoon with some sort of liquid on it that was miscolored. You know what I mean? Like when we had our kids and we had to feed them that nastiness, like as I'm putting it towards their mouth, I'm thinking, this is hypocrisy because I wouldn't dig a spoon in this for me. But here I am like, it's yummy, 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 yummy as I'm like holding my nose, you know, as I'm feeding it to them. But it's like this, you're putting it towards his mouth. Well, now, unless you're, you know, forced to, none of you will eat something that isn't good tasting to you. Now you might try something new and as soon as you spit it out if it's nasty. But for the most part, you know what you like and what you don't like. And so the purpose behind this verse is to say, God is not just going to just be like, oh, blessings, blessings. For you. God's not Oprah. Blessings for you and blessings for you and everybody gets a blessing. That's not God. God is sitting back there going, hey, taste it, man. You've got to actually do something. Your soul has to boast in me. Stop viewing your circumstances. Stop living for the circumstances around you. Instead, put the spoon in your mouth and taste and see that God is good. And some of you are so concerned with your circumstances, you're not looking around and tasting and seeing how good God has been to you, how good your situation is, how nice you have it. Now you may say, I've got it terrible, man. You have no idea. I'll be honest. I did not have it bad growing up. I didn't. Now, I will say, when I was 13, 14 years old was when my dad his business like took off and we actually had money. Before that, we didn't. So like, you know what I'm saying? The mac and cheese was normal dinner, but then if it had hot dogs cut up in it, that was like a gourmet night. You know, that was like our Friday night partying because it had hot dogs cut up in it. But when I became a teenager, like life was fine. My dad had plenty of money. But before that, it wasn't like we were like, you know, begging on the street corner or anything like that. But I had an okay life. I didn't go through anything like super hard. I didn't go through anything that was like life altering. My parents are still together. None of those things happened in the past. And so I know that you're sitting out there going, man, you've had it easy. You have no idea what I've been through. And I can tell you, I've been in youth ministry for about 10 years and seen just about every situation that happens with teenagers, just about, whether it's family, whether it's within their school, whether whatever. I've seen just about every one of them. I have not experienced it, but I've walked through those experiences with people. So let me say this. Even in the midst of your darkest time, God is still good. And it is in the midst of your darkest time that you will refuse the hardest to see it. Because back here, when you were on the mountaintop and things were going good, you didn't do what David said and said, my soul will boast in the Lord, not circumstances. My soul will boast in the Lord. So that when the circumstances change, man, this poor man cried out and God heard me. And now I can taste and see that he's good. So my challenge for you this week, as you go throughout this Thanksgiving holiday, as you go throughout all the things that you're going to be doing and all the people that you're going to be around, my challenge is to taste and see that God's good. Some of you have family that you don't want to see. Some of you have, you will have family who have abused you, whether mentally, emotionally, verbally, whatever. You will see family that that has happened with. Okay, I understand. And you're going, how could I taste and see that anything is good? I don't want to sound cliche, and I know it does, but if you take a breath right now, God's good. Because Colossians 1 tells us that in him all things consist and have their being. So the ability for us to even take our next breath is God's ability to allow us to live. So for us to taste and see that God is good is to say, man, I'm alive. I have the ability to live. I have the ability to walk. You know, I used to, when I played basketball, it used to be one of the things I would take for granted the most until one day we had a guy come out to lead us in prayer who was in a wheelchair, but it was one that was like, you know, the remote controlled ones, but he couldn't move his body. It was just, he could move his hand like that, and that's how he can control it. And so he wheeled out onto the, it was not at our school, it was another school. He wheeled out on there to lead us in prayer, and he said, God, I thank you for these athletes that they, and I'm paraphrasing, okay, I didn't memorize this prayer, but he said, God, I'm thankful for these athletes and the abilities that you've given to them. Lord, I'm thankful, even though I wish I could do what they do, that you've given them an avenue to honor God in. And it was at that moment I thought to myself, I have never once looked at God and said, thank you for giving the ability to walk, to run, to do a suicide. I know we thanks for suicides in the midst of them. But to be thankful for the little things that seemingly in the midst of it are so, by the way, before you think I'm talking about literal suicide, suicide is in basketball where it's in court sports. It's court sports. So yes, yes. Okay, just so that everybody's on the same page, all right? But in the midst of it, I'm not thankful for it. But you know what? The guy in the wheelchair wishes he could get up and then run the suicide. So in the midst of all of your struggles and all of your trials and all those different things, don't miss this week tasting and seeing that God is good. Now, you're going to taste some good food because it's Thanksgiving, right? Yes. But don't forget. I'm so excited. me too. But don't forget to taste and see that God is good. There's another verse in Scripture. It was my life verse for a while until 1 Corinthians 9:16, but 2 Corinthians 9:15 says this. It says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And that idea is this, that no matter what is going on in your life, there is an unspeakable gift that God has given to us, and that's his son, Jesus Christ. Now, I know it. Right now, some of you, the ones who have accepted Christ as your Savior, just shut off. Like, oh, he's getting to the gospel. Let me just, turkey. And you've zoned me out to think about something else. But don't for just this once, okay? The gospel is very simple in the fact that it was Jesus coming to earth to die for us, be buried for us, raised again the third day for us to give us victory over sin and over death. So that in and of itself is a very simple connotation that we can think of. What's hard for us a lot of times is to admit that we're wrong and that we're sinners. But if we do, then we understand why Jesus had to come and die. So Jesus, in enduring all of those things and going through all those things, did it for one person, and it was you. Because if you were the only person alive on the face of the planet, God himself coming down to earth as Jesus Christ would have died for you because he loves you that much. So for you to sit there and go, oh, I have all these problems, and oh, this person likes this person, and I wish they liked me, but they don't like me, and I wish they liked them, and nobody likes everybody, and they talked about me on social media, and you go through all these different things, and oh, everything's terrible, the light, oh, the sky's falling, and everything else. If you can't taste and see that anything else is good, taste and see that thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. That in the midst of you, in the midst of me, and our going against each other, and what we should not do, God, in the midst of all those things, loved us and gave himself for us. I don't know, and I swear within 2 minutes I'm done. I don't know if you know Jesus. I don't know if you know him or not. But here's what I want to tell you. If you know him, then Thanksgiving should take on a whole other meaning. If you don't know him, then Thanksgiving can take on a whole other meaning. Because the burdens that you carry in your soul can be released if your soul makes its boast in the Lord. And the only way that happens is if you accept Jesus' sacrifice for you. Now, I could go through scripture and show you all those different things and what the Bible says about it and prove it to you. But take my word for it. There is relief, there is comfort, there is peace, there is joy, and there is true thanksgiving when we have experienced the sacrifice of Christ in our lives. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for the group that we had tonight. Lord, I pray in the midst of distraction, in the midst of just like all of us in our minds going in different directions and thinking of different things, I pray that there would be one or two or three or four things that would have stuck in someone's brain, in someone's mind. That, Lord, I'm not going to say anything special. I'm not a great speaker. But God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have taken the mumblings and the stutterings and the bad grammar and all the things that I have used and said tonight. And God, you would form them in people's hearts that they would look back and say, man, tonight, November 19th is a night that I dedicated myself to taste and see that God's good. That in the midst of my difficulties, in the midst of my circumstances changing, my soul will boast in the Lord. And when those circumstances do change, man, this poor man's going to cry out to God, but he will hear me and I can taste and see that God's good. Lord, we love you and you are good to us. You're so good to us. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.